Tavares backhand towards the goal. Loose puck. Everybody scores! Tie game! Can you believe it?
Up the boards. Can't get it out. Sweeney blasts one. Scores!
Gretzky controlling it. Inside the blue line. Gretzky gets it. He shoots. He scores! Just a one-man show. Wayne Gretzky.
This is one of the best World Junior games we have ever seen.
Hey, welcome to the Azarkan Tours podcast. It's our Canadian Bears edition as we get ready for the World Junior Hockey Championship coming up in Gothenburg, Sweden. Bryn Griffiths and Paul Almeida with you. You know what's funny is our guest on this particular podcast, we don't have him on that intro because he doesn't do Team Canada games.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, the one thing I want to say about Dennis Bayak that maybe people don't think of, people know him as a broadcaster.
Yes.
But I don't know how many people realize his wealth of knowledge and experience as a hockey executive in the Western Hockey League over so many years.
Oh, yeah. And I know that I'm going to ask him about, he works with Craig Button, who seems to know everything because he is so well plugged in. Dennis will probably immediately downplay his knowledge and his experience in the Western Hockey League and the NHL and that kind of stuff. But we're going to ask him that question anyway. But Dennis Bayak has been doing NHL play-by-play for a very, very long time.
Yes.
Has been doing this event for a very, very long time. We talked on the last podcast about some of his experiences at various events. Today, we're going to focus a little bit more on the broadcast.
The production stuff. Aspect.
The production yes. aspect, because people who watch here...
No idea.
They have no clue on how many people go over there. They just don't. They don't understand that it's expensive, but they also, I don't think, have got a full grasp of the... They just watch it,
yeah,
which is great, but it takes a lot of hard work by a lot of dedicated individuals that are behind the scenes. So we'll talk to Dennis Bayak about that, but there's lots of great stuff to chat with Dennis about. Let's get to it, shall we?
Let's go.
Hey, Dennis, great to have you back on the podcast talking about the World Junior Hockey Championship. We're going to be in Sweden. You're going to be in Sweden. Let's talk about how you got started. Well, obviously, we talked about, you know, your start in the Western Hockey League on our last episode, but how did you, I'm not going to use the term luck in, because obviously your talent and your connections are very helpful, but how did this come to you where you're broadcasting World Junior games?
Well, a lot of my broadcasting success and a lot of what I've done as far as TSN is concerned, that falls right on the shoulders of Paul Graham, who I first met in 1989 at the Memorial Cup in Saskatoon. He was working for CTV at that time and produced the game, and so we had some meetings that week leading up to the Memorial Cup Championship, and then he just kind of went from there, and then got, you know, a bit reacquainted when I ended up in Toronto after my 2-year stint in Edmonton at CFRN. And then I ended up in Toronto and kept my relationship with Paul Graham. And then as they expanded their coverage of international hockey, I had done some playoffs for TSN and some other events, the Esso Cup, Royal Bank Cup, you know, events like that. So I did, you know, stay in touch with the TSN people. And then 2013 rolled around and the NHL was on a lockout situation. And so we went over, and I'd done a couple of worlds. One was for The Score, and then one was for TSN. That was way back when, the World Championship. That was back in, I want to say, 2001, 2002. And so there was that connection. And then after the UFA situation during the NHL lockout where we did radio that I talked about in the previous podcast, then we got the call saying, okay, would you consider this? Would you consider leaving the NHL for 3-4 games, whatever the case was, to go and do the World Junior? And so I could have said no, but I think it's a terrific tournament, and you get to see a lot of young players, and so that's where it kind of started with the Toronto one, and it just kind of went from there. And after that, I was involved in every World Junior and World Championship. I missed one. That was the 2018 one in Denmark. The Jets were in that playoff run with Nashville and that year. So I missed that one. But that's where the World Junior got going. And And then it just became a regular. It became not even a conversation anymore that come Christmas time, I would leave on the 23rd or the 24th. If it was in Europe, you left on the 23rd normally, although we're leaving on the 22nd, I think, this year. And if it was in Canada, you left on the 24th. And that just became part of your regular routine and away you went. You planned Christmas dinner if you were going to have it on a different day or whatever. But that became automatic. And then away you went and came back early in January, other than the year it got canceled in Red Deer. And it's been a big part of my broadcast career, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, let's talk about your partner. Here's the big question. Who makes who better? Does Craig Button make Dennis Bayak better, or does Dennis Bayak make Craig Button better?
Oh, that's a pretty simple answer. Craig Button knows more about junior hockey players than anyone, and any time I get myself in a bind, I just look over at him and he takes it away. So, yeah. No doubt. I mean, we all know what research and what work you do leading up to a tournament like this. And there's no doubt that my workload is lowered and lessened because of Craig Button and just his knowledge of these players. It saves me from having to do that. I don't need to get into a scouting report on these players because I know he has it off the top of his head. So it just lessens my load, no doubt.
Dennis, you know, the watching these games at home over Christmas has become a big tradition for a lot of Canadian families. And, you know, we all watch the broadcast and we hear you and we hear Craig and we hear Gord and Mike Johnson now, who used to be Ray Ferraro. But we don't have an idea of what it takes to put one of these broadcasts together. How many people will be there for TSN in Gothenburg this year behind the scenes and including the broadcasters as well?
You know what? That is the part. I'm glad you asked that question because that is the part that I'm not sure a lot of people understand the commitment that these people make. They see us, the broadcasters, and they know there's some three or four people working in the truck, as we call it, in the mobile. There is over 100 people who every year give up their time between Christmas and New Year's. Some earlier than that because there's pre-tournament games, there's setup involved, and they are at this tournament every year. And unfortunately, there's some people that have passed that won't be at this year's tournament.
Yeah,
and that's unfortunate. But it is a major commitment by a lot of people, and 90% of them are. Our TSN, well, maybe not 90%. A lot of them are TSN employees. A lot of them are freelancers that work NHL games, work other sporting events for not only TSN, but for other networks. And for them to give up their time every year to go and be part of this World Junior Championship so that, this is not the right way to put it, so that fans at home can enjoy it because they enjoy it too. So it's not like they just simply go for that. It's a fun tournament. It's a great group. And this year is going to be special because it's all in one city.
Yes.
Normally, in past years, there has been times where we've all been. Buffalo was all one city. And there's been other ones. Ostrava was all one city. But for the most part, it's always been in two centers, Toronto, Montreal. Last year, Halifax, Moncton. And so you're not together. This year, Victoria, Vancouver. You know, this year, we will all be in Gothenburg. There's two rinks there, so as much as there'll be two crews, we will all be at the same hotel that you and your crew will be at.
Yep.
So I think that's what kind of makes it special, but really is a commitment. I mean, there's some people, TSN hands out a bit of a plaque, a card. We have a little banquet, a dinner every year at the World Junior, and you get a card to signify how many years you have been involved in this World Championship. And there's people that are in the 20s,
wow.
20 consecutive. So it's remarkable what these people do. They do an outstanding job. They're a great bunch of people, and they make this thing tick. So that's the start of it. From our standpoint, there's no doubt, and it's a busy schedule.
Yes, it is.
I mean, we do 10 games in 6 days, not as busy as the World Championship, but we don't have the same crew at the World Championship because you use a lot of a world feed off of that one. This is all TSN people. So you do 10 games in 6 days to start, then you finally get a day off. For me, it's 12 and 8 days because I'm gone after the quarterfinals. Once they move into one venue, Gordon, Mike, and that crew will take over. But it's busy. I mean, you know, for us, if the game starts at 4, we get to the rink at 2. There's people who have been there since 10 getting ready for the game, and they leave after the last game is done, which is around 11:30 midnight. So long days, but they love it, and the result is what you see on television, and it's a great product, and it's really become a December-January ritual in a lot of households.
Well, you're a huge hockey broadcaster, huge hockey fan, so this brings up a bit of a dilemma this time around, and that is the fact that one rink is on one side of town, the other is obviously closer to downtown. You do a lot of show prep or game prep. Are you going to go to other games? You haven't had that chance before. What are you going to do? Are you just going to go back to the hotel and work? I know which way I think you're going to go on this answer.
Well, it varies. Depends who's playing. If it's a good game and with the staggered times, then it will work out. A lot of times, if Canada is playing, if we're the earlier game and it's the last game of the day, Craig Button will have some duties, TSN duties, so he has to go to catch the last part of the Canada game. And so usually I'll tag along with him. A lot of times it depends who's leaving and who's going where and that sort of thing. But it will a lot depend on who's playing the next day. If it's a day where we've got two games the next day, chances are that I'm going to go back to the hotel. If it's a day where we have one game, then there's a good chance that I'll go to the game. So that kind of dictates some of that, how much work you can get done in advance, and those sorts of things. But I don't look at the schedule before and say some of it will even early in the tournament. Some of it will even depend on how much sleep you had the night before because of the time change.
Mm-hmm.
And, as you get older, I can tell you that you don't handle time change as well as you used to when you were younger. So that dictates a little bit of what your schedule is as well. But I would say, number one, it's going to be who's in that other game that you have a chance to go over and catch a part of.
So, Dennis, are you going to be broadcasting mainly from the Frölundasborg Arena?
Correct. I do the games that in the pool that Canada is not involved in. So it's a good group. It's always been a good group. Some years you get better competition in our group than the other one. Other times it's the other way around. So, that's always been my schedule. I do the non-Canadian group and then do the two quarterfinals, and then my schedule is done.
So is there a game in that group that you're looking forward to?
I think you always look at the ones that, that are the countries that are established.
Yeah.
So I think you always kind of look at those. I mean, and yet when I mention that, I mean, countries have gotten a lot better.
Yes, they have.
Over the years. I mean, I think that's been part of this World Junior Championship, to watch how some of these teams, these countries have gotten better from where they were to where they are now. And, you know, it's taken a bit of a different twist with Belarus. And with Russia not being in, that's allowed two other teams and two other countries to come in. And those countries have struggled at times, but for them, it's a great event. But I think anytime you're looking at an established country who has some players, and this is the other thing, even though if the team isn't maybe a team that's going to compete for a medal, we see it every year. There's young players on that team that are going to be high in the draft. So, you tend to kind of look at them and have a good look. But it's usually the established countries. And as long as it's a close game, we've always kind of had this belief, doesn't matter who's playing, as long as it's a close game. And because to those countries and their fans, those are big games. So, we've kind of learned to enjoy it over the year and just kind of go with whatever you're given.
So you're doing this one pool. Gord Miller's doing the other pool. Here's a guy, I've known Gord for a long time, kind of basically grew up together in the city of Edmonton, but Gord's notoriety in hockey is up there. But I think a lot of people don't understand how much of an impact he's made at the international level. Working alongside Gord, how has that been for you?
Well, Gord's not in the IIHF Hall of Fame for no reason,
correct,
you know, at all.
Yeah.
He's done a lot, excuse me, he's done a lot of work, not only from a broadcast standpoint. He's been a key part of developing international hockey. And he does a very good job of not just worrying about the World Junior when the World Junior rolls around. I mean, he keeps track of what's happening on an international level, rule changes, all the little things that, I mean, I've got lots of things in my files where I have printed off a Gord Miller tweet or a Gord Miller note on something, because it's something that you're going to need down the road, you know. So he's been very instrumental in what the result we see on TSN. So a big part of it, and it's interesting when you go to these events, you walk around the rink and a lot of people know who Gord Miller is.
Yeah.
And not just Canadian fans or USA fans, fans around the world, because of his involvement with the IIHF and what he's done for international hockey.
Hey, very quickly before we let you go, did Oiler play-by-play for 2 years? How many years in Toronto?
13. There was some stoppages in there but 13 in Toronto and then 11 in Winnipeg, and started off as 5, then went to 8, and the next thing you know was 11. So it's been great.
And now I use the term retirement, but you haven't really retired, have you?
Well, this will be my last event. So okay. I will do the World Junior in Sweden, and the World Championship in Finland was my last World Championship game. The Winnipeg-Seattle game was my last NHL game. And we'll wrap it up in Sweden this year with a quarterfinal game and ride off into the sunset.
Well, you and your entire TSN crew are the exact same hotel as us, the Radisson Blue Scandinavia. We'll be toasting your final game. It's hard for me to even say that without getting a little emotional, because I've known you for so long, man. It's unbelievable.
Well, we do go back to the Moose Jaw Saskatoon days, and you know, you kind of became a bit of a legend in Moose Jaw and went on to a great career and on from there. But it's been a great ride. I mean, it's been tons of fun. From my first ever game back in Flin Flon in whatever year that was, 1970, I think.
Yeah.
Between Brandon and Flin Flon, and you know, to where it ends now, and the World Junior that was canceled in Russia was won, because that was going to be the title of my book. My book was going to be from Flin Flon to Magnitogorsk, and. But so I have to change that. Now, if I ever do write a book, I'm going to have to change the title.
Damn. Hey, well, listen, the Canadian Bear Pit's going to be in the lobby. Paul, where are we set up with our hospitality suite?
Well, it's going to be hopping every night, Dennis, so we look forward to seeing you there.
I think if I just follow the noise, I think I'll find you guys.
Yeah, I think you'll find us everywhere,
exactly.
So I don't think you can escape us. And as we said before, our bus is open if you need to hitch a ride to the rink or back. We have buses going all day. And, you know, we'll be doing our podcast from the lobby of the Bear Pit as well. So you're more than welcome to hop on anytime.
All right. Well, I thank you for that offer. And you never know. I may take you up on that.
Hey, and one last thing. Canadian fans turn up at this event no matter where it is. Isn't that amazing to you? I love it.
It really is. You know what? That's the great thing with sports, great thing with international hockey. I think we sometimes overlook that. But I think Canadian fans that make this trip are going to have a terrific time. They always do. The other country, not as much for the World Junior, but you know, for the World Championship. And then what happened at the World Championship last year was just memorable. Latvia is the other country whose fans love to follow their team, again, more at the men's level than the junior level. But it is really great to see. And you know what? It really means so much to the players. I think it means a lot to TSN to be able to, during stoppages of play, pan the crowd and see all these people wearing Canadian jerseys and smiling and having a good time, and because that's what it's all about. That's what made the one, just a couple more seconds here, that's what made the one last year in Halifax and Moncton, I think, so special. There had been a lot of bumps in the road with the canceled tournament, the summer tournament, other events surrounding Hockey Canada. And I think everybody was just waiting for a tournament to be back to what it used to be. And I think Moncton and Halifax did that. Connor Bedard was certainly a show in Halifax, but the fans in Moncton turned out. That's where Craig Button and I were. And it was great to have a terrific World Junior, because I really think the world of hockey needed that at that time.
Very quickly, who do you like other than Canada to win this? What are you hearing from Craig? I'm assuming Craig's just all over this.
Yeah, you know what? I think when we talk about Russia not being in anymore, you know, I think it certainly leaves it wide open. I mean, you have to look at Finland, the success that that country has had in hockey in general over the last number of years. You know, Germany has made some strides at all levels of hockey. Sweden, I think you always have to certainly look at Sweden. The United States is always there. So I think those are the countries that, you know, when you look at it, I mean, those are the ones that will jump out. Now, I think as the tournament gets a little closer and you see who's going to be on the teams, who's hurt, there's already some players that have been banged up and looks like they might miss the World Junior, so that's not good for those countries. But as it gets closer, I think you'll start to zero in on more. But I think it's the usual suspects. Germany is always a team that could surprise, and so we'll see what happens.
Thanks for your time on both of these episodes. We'll see you in Sweden, okay?
You got it.
So there you go. Dennis Bayak of TSN, thanks for being on these last two podcasts for us and giving us a little different spin as we get that much closer to this event. It is coming quick.
Oh, it's great to have Dennis. Some great perspectives, some great information that maybe we never thought about. And I really look forward to seeing him and the rest of the crew from TSN. As we mentioned, they're at the same hotel as us, the Radisson Blue Scandinavia. So that's fantastic. We'll be able to meet and see some of these people that we've watched on television for many, many years, giving us so much entertainment with these World Junior broadcasts.
Kind of gave us a little bit of a sudden update there, the fact telling us this will be his final, he'll be doing his final broadcast at this particular event.
That's an unbelievable career he's had throughout his days in hockey, as first, you know, general manager and as an assistant general manager and then as a broadcaster. Fantastic guy.
So there's the scoop on that one. Listen, we look forward to seeing everybody coming up here. Most people going to Stockholm?
Well, a lot of people are going to Stockholm. I say half of our group is going to Stockholm. So we'll see a majority of the people on the 21st, 22nd, around those dates.
Right.
And then, of course, we have the ones that are spending Christmas at home with family, and they'll be arriving on the 26th, 27th.
There is, in Stockholm, are we not going on a bit of a cruise?
We're going on a dinner cruise.
Is it on an icebreaker?
It's not on an icebreaker. Well, hopefully the cruise will be able to go. Right now it looks good. So as long as the temperatures remain around zero or higher, then we'll be good.
Now, through those ice waters, as long as they say they're not going to be setting new speed records, because I think there have been other ships who've tried that.
Well, we're going to put you. Yeah, we're going to put you on iceberg watch, Bryn.
Thank you very much.
We'll give you a bell and goggles.
What do they call that?
Or binoculars?
That position? Is it like the
gopher? Isn't it a gopher?
No.
At
what's the position at the front of the ship? What's that? The
bird's eye view? Portuguese guy? I don't know.
I don't know. Like it's a bird's eye view or it's the eagle's nest or whatever. I don't know what they call the front of the ship. Oh, the pointy part.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, looking forward to it. Do we have any more podcasts? But we got to have more podcasts coming before we'll be launching certainly once we get there.
Yeah, we'll have a few more podcasts before we go again. Hopefully have a few more guests that can tell us some stories or some memorable moments that they've had at the World Juniors or about the World Juniors so that we can get everybody prepared for the tournament. But we'll also have a couple of more Azarkan Tour podcasts talking about what to expect once we get over there and going over some of the topics that people have given us to touch on.
Thanks to Dennis Bayak. Thanks to you. Thanks. This has been a lot of fun as always. And hey, listen, I'm looking forward to it. I can hardly wait. We'll see you there. Okay? Oh, hey, the crowd's ready.